And welcome to Meathead Chatter, episode 45. And with me today is my old and sometimes current coach, Mike Westerling. What's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing great. I appreciate you getting on the podcast with me. For those of you who don't know who Mike is, I've mentioned him a couple times on the podcast. We've been working off and on since, like, I don't know, like 2017 or something.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So for the people, give a little rundown of kind of your background and kind of how you, we have some really cool backstory stuff we could get into. Let's just start with your strength background.
Well, when I was a little kid, I was sick all the time. I had really bad asthma, and I would spend a lot of time in the hospital. It was before they had, like, inhalers and stuff like that, you know? So whenever I had a problem, I was living with my grandparents at the time, and they didn't like me to go outside. An asthma attack or whatever. So I was always, you know, pretty sick and scrawny and whatever. And then when I was about, I'm really bad with ages and dates, so you're going to have to bear with me. But when I was probably around like 8 or 10, I was reading superhero comic books all the time. And I saw this ad in the back for Charles Atlas. Back when I was a kid, everybody knew who he was, but I don't think anybody knows anymore. But
dude, I've been collecting a lot of vintage weight plates, and I know he had some deep dish weight plates back in the day.
Oh, okay, yeah. So back then, he put out a course called Dynamic Tension, and it was basically, you know, you curl one arm against the other arm as it does a tricep extension, and you squeeze real hard for like 10 seconds.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
He had basically something like that for each body part. So I started doing that. And I started feeling a little better. And my grandfather saw me doing it one day, and he was an ex-pro boxer. And he was like, what are you doing? And I told him, trying to exercise. And he goes, oh, well, let me show you some other exercises. So he started training me to hit the bag, push-ups, like light dumbbell shit and stuff like that. And nice. I just got into it. And I started getting in better shape and feeling better and getting stronger. And that was kind of where it all started. And then by the time I was 15, I was just totally into working out. Like, I was your typical meathead. All I cared about was training.
Right.
I used to call my grandparents from school and say I'm sick and then get me excused. And then instead of walking home, I'd walk to the gym and work out for 3 or 4 hours. And I'd call them from the gym and be like, I'm feeling better. I'm going to stay at school.
Dude, you have
so
you,
that was kind
you,
of my.
You have the best background stories ever. I want to jump in real quick. Everyone, go buy Built by Mike. Your ebook, it's at startingstrongman.com?
Yep.
And then do you have it on, like, your website or anywhere else?
No, I just sell it through Kale because he's been really good to me, and yeah. I don't want to, you know. I think I had it somewhere for a while, but I took it down.
Dude, yeah. So that there is some great classic, like, how you, like, pretty cool background, and of course great programming and methodologies too, which we'll get into after a little bit. But yeah, everybody hit pause. Thank you. Go buy that and come back and we'll talk more. So, all right, cool. So, cool. So you started lifting and doing stuff with your uncle and
grandfather.
That's right. You would skip school to go lift weights. And moving on. Sorry, I had to jump in.
Oh, no problem at all. So after that, when I was about 15, I was just a full blown meathead, like, going, buying all the different, like, Muscle Mags, Iron Man, all that stuff. And I was just totally into it. I competed in powerlifting a little bit, and I was starting to get more into bodybuilding just because the powerlifters at the gym that I was at, most of them were fat, and I liked the bodybuilding
better. You wanted to be jacked.
Cause,
yeah.
Yeah, because they were like superheroes, you know?
Right.
So I started doing, you know, the programs out of the magazines and stuff, and as you know, I would overtrain a lot. I'd try to make up for it by eating too much. And then, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'd drink a whole gallon of milk before bed because somebody said it was a good idea. And then I ended up, like, laying in bed wanting to die because it hurt so bad to have a gallon of milk in my stomach, you know?
Right.
So I got that book, Education of a Bodybuilder by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I started reading that. And he talked about how he always thought Germany was too small for him and he had to come to America. You know, live in California, become an actor, whatever.
Yep.
California, when I was 15. I had $1,200 in my pocket when I got off the plane. I had about, I forget how much, I think I probably had like 900 and some change.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to go to Gold's Gym and work out with all the pros and learn what I could because I thought the magazines must be hiding something, you know?
Right. There's some special sauce out there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there, of course, we all know now that there is a special sauce out there, but that wasn't what I was thinking at the time. So I got there and I was staying in this crappy motel called like the Cap Motel or something shitty like that. It was like that after a couple of days, my funds were dwindling. So I slept on the beach one night and I ran into some other kids that were on the beach kind of doing the same thing.
Right.
And the next day, bro, what happened to those kids yesterday? And they're like, oh, they were lost. And they're both in the hospital. So I started climbing to the roof of Gold's Gym because I figured none of the,
safer
you
than,
know, the meth heads or drug addicts or whatever back then would come up and get me. So I was sleeping in an air conditioning vent for about 3 months till I met someone. And then I finally kind of had my own place for a while.
Nice.
Were any questions about all that?
So you moved out there when you were 15. Which is crazy. You slept on the beach and then you moved up to the roof because it was safer. And you were a weight picker-upper in Gold's Gym, weren't you?
That was my first job out there. I got a job picking up the weights. And I basically $8.50 an hour to walk around and clean up after people.
Hey, $8.50 an hour for that, you know, back in the day. Like, that was better than minimum wage, wasn't it?
I think minimum wage was four at the time, and you know, I lived in, it was two blocks from the beach, and our student here, $200 a month total.
Oh, that ain't bad.
$100 a week out of my paycheck towards that.
So you were
in a bathroom and a shower, which kind of blew, but I just would walk to the gym and
sorry, man, the audio's cutting out a little bit on the phone here.
Okay.
Oh, there you are. So that got you into like the bodybuilding world. You did some powerlifting before that. But for those who know who you are or of you, you coached a ton of like strongman people and a lot of like high level strongman people too. Excluding me, cause you know, I'm okay, but I'm not, I'm not Spencer Merrick or Shaw. I think you coached Shaw for a minute, didn't you?
Yeah, in 2021, I did. Yeah, we worked together. For,
when he got second.
Yeah, it was probably his best place in, I don't know, 7 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that year. I was, and it's like he had a shot at winning. I forget the event, but there was one event where it was like, ooh, that was like a technical mistake. And it's like if he would have won that one, he'd have had it. But
yeah, he only lost by, I think, a point.
Yeah, it was so close. Yeah.
And a half or something. What was on the train push, train around in a circle?
Yeah,
he started
that was
off
it.
With two. So because he started off with two biggest steps, he didn't. And I mean, he told me, he's like, "Yeah, it was just a technical error. No, you know, it happens. Whatever. But I should have taken smaller steps."
Yep.
Like everybody else did, and that dropped him down quite a few places.
Yeah, I mean that was the point right there.
One place higher on that, he would have won it. You know,
oof. And man,
it was good to work with him. I was just humbled that he, you know, he let me. You know,
well, and I mean, if you look at, if you guys hop over to Instagram and follow at Built by Mike, that's your Instagram feed. And it's like it's not like you just post your workouts. It's like every post is like, hey, here's my 17 athletes that competed this weekend and won everything. Like it's impressive. It's super cool.
Thank you.
So how did, and I mean, also about like how we worked together for a strongman show initially. It was like, I can't remember if the first show was just strongman or if it was that one I did out at Travis Mash's place that was like a strongman show in the morning and a powerlifting meet in the afternoon. Cause I know you,
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first prep I ever did with you and I won both. So that was a good day. And I was like, okay, yeah, Mike knows his things. You're also who coached me to my first 500 pound bench press, which is super cool. That's probably like the coolest thing I've done in the lifting world, but, you're definitely,
I think a 500 pound bench press is fantastic. Like so many people like, oh, only 500. There's so many, you know, all this, but 500, you should be proud of that, man.
Oh,
that
dude. Yeah.
Fantastic lift.
I know like two other people in person that I actually know that have benched more than 500 pounds. And I know a lot of people in the lifting world. So yeah, that's the lift I kind of hang my hat on, was that 507 back in 2021. But, so brain. Okay, there you go. So strongman. So you were in the bodybuilding world, you moved out to California, you got to meet some of the names people probably won't recognize, but like some very cool, very strong, guys that were out in that vet. And you were in the, like the golden era, Gold's Gym, Venice Beach.
I think I came in just a little bit past what they call the golden era, but,
it was like second generation.
Yeah, exactly. Like the big at the time were like Mike Christian, Rich Gasparri, Lee Haney.
Yep.
I don't think Rich Gasparri was at the Olympia yet, but I was training with the Barbarian Brothers, usually just David. So the first day I was in the gym, David and Peter were working out together near me, and I was like, you know, scrawny little kid. I'm like, hey, can I train with you guys? I've seen you in the magazines, you know? And they're like, yeah, right. Hop in. So like halfway through the workout, I forget what happened. I think Peter got a phone call or something and left, and David goes, you want to finish the workout with me? So I was like, sure. So we finished the workout together, and I guess him and Peter didn't train together that often.
Gotcha.
That just happened to be one of the times that they did. So David's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? You want to train back with me? So I was like, hell yeah. So we were training partners on and off for about 6 months.
So cool.
And, you know, I trained with Peter every now and then, you know, the three of us would train together, or if David was out of town, I might train with Peter, but it was basically me and David training together most of the time. And it was really cool. It was kind of geeky. I used to dress like him and shit because he was my idol at the
your
time.
Your hero, so, man. You're like 16 years old, and this like dude that's in, you know, bodybuilder magazines is,
yeah, exactly,
consistently training with you. Like, yeah, I'd fanboy too.
Oh, wicked bad. And it was fun though. He was a real nice guy, and you know, we would train for like hours. Like he was just into, you know, I would, right now looking at it was so overtraining, but at 16 with all the growth hormone and hormones that you just have naturally, you know, yep, and the mental attitude, I survived it. But we would do like 50 sets of five for heavy back. Like,
Jesus.
He's like, all right, we're going to do five sets of five heavy on rows and not count the warm-up, like on bent over rows. Then we'd do like five sets of five heavy on T-bars. Again, not count the warm-ups. Then we'd do like five sets of five on cable rows, and we'd just do 10 different exercises like that.
Jesus.
And it was like, we'd start with something different every time. And I don't know how my back didn't just blow off, you know, out of the back of my spine. But
dude, it's crazy what you can survive back in your teens, in your early 20s. I was doing more CrossFit stuff because I was coming out of MMA, like in my early 20s. Yep. And just like, I could train 6 days a week, and it was more reppy or whatever. It wasn't like super heavy all the time, but like 6 days a week, like no issue. Like you could survive that. It was, yeah, it's crazy.
You can until you can.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not ideal, but like,
yeah, I was training for a few years, and then my elbows started to hurt so bad that like I couldn't drive my car. You know what I mean? Like I would have to hold my hands on my lap and like use my fingers to kind of manipulate the wheel around instead of use my arms. And I got rid of my standard because shifting killed me.
Oof.
My knees started to hurt so bad. Like, you know, I was doing the old man getting up out of chairs at like 18 years old. Exactly.
That's awesome.
So I had to get out of that real quick and figure out what worked for me. But it was, you know, it was priceless times though. Just a good time to train. I got to train with Victor Richards a couple times. He jumped in with me and David. We're doing like arms with him. Just a lot of cool guys out there. You know, I actually lived with Don Ross and Grizzly Brown. He was a world's, well, he never won, but he used to compete.
He was like,
in World's Strongest Man.
Oh man, he's the strongest dude to have never won it, man. He is. There was one year, I think there was one year where it was like, I think Kazmaier ended up getting him, but it was like, down to the last event, the fridge run or something?
Wilson.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Odie.
Thinking of Odie Wilson. I mean, Grizzly was good, but he was never, I don't think he was ever close
at that
to the
level.
Top.
Okay, okay.
But he was strong as shit. I mean, he would do military presses with 365 for like 3 or 4 reps, standing strict out of the rack, no leg drive or nothing, just perfect, powerful presses, you know. That's but he crazy. Was real fat, too. He had trouble with all the moving stuff.
Right, but statically, just crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you did the bodybuilding thing. Did you get, what was the next thing you kind of messed with? Was that kind of the next step was strongman, or did you play with other stuff too?
Oh,
or?
No. So I bodybuilded until I, eventually my grandfather got sick and my grandmother asked me to move back to Massachusetts and help take care of him. So I did that. And then while I was living with them, my goal was to get in the Navy and be a Navy SEAL. But I had too many speeding tickets in a year, so I had to wait a year for those to kind of roll over, I guess. So I was like, what am I going to do for a year? And they're like, well, why don't you go to college and come in as an officer? And then I was like, college? I can't go to college. I didn't even graduate high school. And they were like, well, you got your GED to take the ASVAB, and you did really good on the ASVAB. With that kind of scores, you should be able to have no problem doing your GRE, no, what is it? GREs, whatever the MCATs. MCATs?
That's the medical one.
SATs? SATs, whatever, to get into college. So I took my SATs. I don't remember the score, but I did really well. So I got into college, and once I got into college, I was like, screw the Navy. I'm going to stay in college. This is awesome. So during college, I played rugby. And I powerlifted to help with the rugby, but I didn't really compete at it. I would do like a random bench contest every now and then,
right,
or something. But I was basically into rugby for 5 years of college. I ended up switching majors, so I stayed there an extra year.
I lived that life. I get it.
I played rugby throughout college. I got out of college. I was back into bodybuilding for a bit, and you remember those strength shoes with the big built-up toes?
Yes. For like
calves.
So
I bought a pair of those. Exactly. So I was going to jump and run and do all this shit in those to build up my calves, and I ended up tearing my Achilles.
Ooh.
In
overuse injury, right? Another overtraining thing.
Yeah. So that was in pickup football game, you know, because my Achilles were so sore all the time and I just kept trying to push through. So I tore that. And while I was rehabbing that, I was watching MMA stuff. So when I got done with, out of the rehab, I started, that was when the UFC first came out. So I was watching like Hoist Gracie kill everybody. And then Ken Shamrock. And I was like, man, that guy's got to build.
Yeah, dude, so he was jacked. He was like the first or one of the first like jacked guys that was good.
Yeah. He was a superhero looking dude too. And then, I got into that. I started doing Taekwondo, and then they sent me to this Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu place. Cause they're like, if you really want to do MMA, you need to grapple. That's where it's at these days. So
yeah, you at least need to be able to defend it.
Exactly. So I got into doing that at this place called the Dragon's Lair in Framingham, Massachusetts. I became really good friends with the owner. We were training like maniacs all the time. Just loved it for, 5-6 years straight, like 5 or 6 days a week, going like nuts. Competed in grappling a few times, but there was no local MMA scene at the time.
Right.
Until I started to move out of it. And then it started to get big in the area after I was done with it. I got married, had a kid at the time. So the fighting went on the back burner, and I just started getting back into bodybuilding again. And then we went to the Olympia 1 year with some friends of ours. And there was a World's Strongest Man exhibit, you know, where they were doing the Atlas Stones.
Right.
And Pujanowski would do them, and then you could try them if you wanted to. So I couldn't get the first stone. And Kazmaier was, like, talking to the audience. He's like, this young man sits on his couch every day thinking, I could do that shit, when he's watching World's Strongest Man. And look at him. He can't even pick up the first stone.
Dude, that was a pretty spot on. Like, the first half of that Kaz impression was, like, perfect. That was like spot on.
Yeah. So I was like, I was so mad after that. I'm like, I'm going to get good at this stupid thing, these stupid things, because next year I'm going to come back and load them all and fuck him, you know?
Right.
Sorry for the language.
Good.
I went to a Sven Carlson seminar and kind of learned all the events. And then I bought all this shit for my house, and it was in my basement in my backyard. And I started training strongman. And my first show were actually the same weights as when